Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
I really appreciate that worship. Thank you, guys. It's so good to be in the presence of God. And can we just pray? Can we just pray? Jesus. Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful, Jesus. You're so wonderful. You could spend all morning just praising you. You could spend all morning meditating on your goodness and on your grace, thinking about your wonders, not just the ones we read in the Bible, which are amazing, when we read of the story of your love for people throughout history. When we read about that, our hearts are encouraged and built up and we're strengthened. But Father, when I just think about what you've done in our lives, what you've done in my life, I'm moved to tears. I'm moved to tears. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. You're a God who reveals himself as love from first to last. First to last. And in heaven from first to last. You're a God who is so gracious and so compassionate. Who cannot praise you, Lord? Who cannot praise you? And when I think of those out there who do not yet know how good you are, I ache. I ache. And I pray, Father, somehow or other, you empower us, you enable us, you embolden us, you help us to get out there and love people with the love you've given us, to comfort people with the comfort you've given us, because the world is hurting, and we know you weep over it. Oh, God. We say, let your kingdom come this morning. We say with glad hearts, we say, let your will be done this morning because we trust you. Holy Spirit, we say, fill each one of us right now. Come, come. Spirit of the living God, come. Come. Oh, Lord, fall on us. Oh, Jesus, fall on each one of us again today. And have your way in us. Have your way, Lord. Because your way is good, pleasing, and perfect. We trust you like a little kid trusts their dad. We trust you. We cast ourselves into your arms. Knowing that you have plans to bless us, to prosper us, and not to harm us. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's hard to come from that place. God is so good. God is so good. We're not so good all the time. And we know it, don't we? Oh, Jesus. But God never gives up on us. That's the thing. God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. He's right there with us. He's right there with you this morning, Dave. He's right there with you this morning, my friend. I can see him standing with his hands on your shoulders. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Is it Dario and is it Pede? Can you come up a moment, just for a second? Come to the front. I don't know you. And Dario, can you come? Thank you. If you trust me. Yes. You mad fool. Come here. You don't know me at all. You come here. Come here.
That's
all right. Yeah. Face the friends of yours. Oh, they must be good people then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, what do you see when you look at these people? What do you see? Hallelujah. What do you see?
Faithfulness.
Amen. What do you see? Punctual to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I don't want to miss out. What do you see? What do you see? Happiness. 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 What do you see, Sue? Happy married couple. Are you married?
Yeah.
Well, that could have been a prophetic word, you know. I was checking. 46 years, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. No, 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 no. We haven't finished looking at you yet. We want to see you. We want to see you. Wisdom.
Joy and peace.
Joy and peace. That's what we see in you. Wisdom. Sorry? Welcoming. Hallelujah. Amen. We see all those things in you. All those things in you. And the Spirit of God wants to honor you this morning. Jesus Christ wants to honor you this morning. And as we were worshiping, I was looking at you. I saw you as pillars. Pillars of the church. I don't know if you are. I don't even know if you're Christian. But I guess you're friends of Elizabeth. You're more likely to be Christian. But I see you as pillars of the church. And I don't know which church you go to. If you go to this one regularly, if you don't. They go to this one now. I see you as pillars of the church. And I see you. Do you travel? You're Italian, I know. But do you travel? Because I see you visiting places. I see you travelling. Sometimes, okay. Well, I see you travelling, and I see you going to places, Dario. I see you going to places and giving them your hand of friendship. And I see you bringing peace to places. I see you bringing peace to places. I see you bringing strength to places. I see you bringing strength. Places where people are feeling vulnerable, where they're feeling exposed, I see you going and bringing strength and stability, peace and joy. From Germany?
Christian, yeah.
He needs peace. Oh, Lord Jesus, yeah? All right. But I see you going to communities as well. I see you going to groups of people and actually ministering peace. And bringing strength. So that's what I see. Because you are ambassadors for Christ. You are ambassadors for Christ. There is no more important role on the earth than that. And when you go to places, you take the presence of God with you. And there's nothing more powerful that you could take anywhere when you travel than the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. So, Father, I want to thank you for this couple, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for Dario and for Pete, Father. And we pray for them, Father. We pray that you grant them your Spirit again today. Grant them your Holy Spirit again today, we pray. Father, bless their travels, Lord Jesus. Bless their travels, where they go, Father, the places they go, the people they meet. Because I see them, Father, bringing your peace and bringing your joy, bringing strength. So, Lord God, I pray you send them to those people that need it. You take them to the people or to the places, Father, that are in need of their strength, that are in need of their compassion, that are in need of their wisdom, in need of their peace, that they carry in the person of Jesus. Thank you for them, Father. Thank you for them, Lord Jesus. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. It's just a question I like to ask people all the time, and more, what do you see? What do you see? Because it's such an important question. And too often we judge wrongly. Too often we judge with our fleshly eyes. We do not look with the eyes of faith. We do not see as Jesus would have us see. And I really believe that God wants to speak to us a bit about that today. Did I speak to you a few weeks ago on being seated with Christ in heavenly places? Huh? Can you remember? No? You all look at me blankly, so obviously didn't. Oh, your memories are bad. Well, let me tell you. A few weeks ago, back in the early September, I really felt God speaking to me about proclaiming good news. But also about getting away and praying and seeking his face, because it was a time of change for me. And about three times in the period of 2 weeks, he spoke to me about getting away. And one morning I was sitting at having a quiet time, as I like to do in the mornings, and I was just meditating on the word of God. I was meditating on John chapter 1, and it referenced back to Isaiah chapter 40. And there it was, about getting up a high mountain. And I thought, oh, I'd love to get up a high mountain. Go away, just be with God for a few days. Go and hear his voice. And my wife comes in about 10 minutes later, and she says, Colin, have you thought about going away for a few days? And I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love it when God does that. I said, right, I'm off. And 2 days later, I was packing my rucksack and my tent to go up to the Lake District to get away and seek God's face. And the morning I was due to go, I didn't know where I was going to go. I just knew I wanted to go up a high mountain. And the morning I was due to go, I woke up and I had a little phrase, E18, in my head. E18. I thought, what is E18? That's strange. It's not a grid reference, you know. It's not the grid reference for a mountain I need to climb. But I saw a picture of a map that I had, a touring map, which is red. All my walking maps are yellow. But I had a touring map, which is red. I thought, maybe that's got a different grid reference system. I'll go and have a look. So I went downstairs to find it. And of course, I didn't have it. I'd lent it to someone who went on holiday there in the summer. So I called them up and got them to bring it to church, quite excited. And when they brought it to church, I had a quick look at it. And yes, it had letters across the top and numbers down the side. So I thought, oh, maybe God's directing me to this high mountain I've got to go and climb. So after church, I looked for the map, and it disappeared. Someone had given it back to the person who brought it to church. Very helpful. People are very helpful in church. They notice things, like who brings what, and they give it back to them. So he took it home, so I had to go and get it. But anyway, I got it, and I looked it up. And E18, the name of that mountain was called High Seat. I thought, fantastic. What a prophetic name. High Seat. Because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Far above all rule and dominion, power and authority. That is our place. That is phenomenal. And I thought, whoa, God's taking me to the High Seat. That's going to be quite amazing. Maybe I'm going to get some great revelation there. Maybe I'm going to be bold. Maybe I'm going to meet someone there who needs to know the love of God. I had all these different ideas of what God could be taking me all this way to go and speak to me about. So I got up early in the morning, went out to climb High Seat, and it was a miserable day. It was a bit like today, actually. It was grey, it was overcast, the wind was howling. All night in my tent, the canvas was blowing down to my face. Yeah, it's only a small little tent. So I got up and went out, started walking in the rain, going up to this High Seat. It wasn't very high, it's only 600 metres high. It's just a tiny thing, really. And I went through this terrible bog, nearly lost my boots on the mountain. You should see me struggling to get my boot out of the bog after it come off. Terrible. But I get to this High Seat, and it's howling a gale. It's bad enough on the ground, you know, at sea level. But up on the top of the mountain, it was terrible. I sat on this trig point, and I was nearly blown off. And I was praying and prophesying into the wind, and, you know, just praising God and glorifying God, and wondering who's going to come up and meet me, or, you know, what kind of revelation I'm going to get. Sorry? No one turned up. Surprise, that, isn't it, on a day like that? You'd have thought that place would have been packed with tourists. But no one was there apart from me. And I was praying and prophesying, full of faith. And then I hear God speak, and he says, "The voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind," as I'm nearly blown backwards. I'm thinking, what do you mean the voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind? What kind of message is that to give to someone after dragging them halfway across the country? "The voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind." Thanks a lot. Well, there's a lot of strong wind here. So kind of a bit confused, a bit kind of disheartened, I went down the mountain. And, you know, to try and salvage it, I actually spoke to someone and gave them a word. I didn't know, just some group of walkers on the mountain, because I wanted to do something spiritual, you know. Maybe God was going to speak to them through me being there. So, but I think I just made a fool of myself. I probably did it in the flesh. So I get down the mountain, and then I went... packed down the next day, and was driving out of the Lake District really quite low, because I didn't really hear from God about what the things I was carrying and the things I wanted to hear from him on. It was a good time. I loved the hills, so I could spend all time there. And for someone who loves people, you know, I had my own company, and that was fine. But as I was driving away, I just felt God's... I was praying to God about Maidenhead. I just said, "God, well, you know, whoever you want to raise up at this time, whoever you choose to raise up at this time to lead that congregation is great. You know, just want to pray you bless them." And I just felt this small voice say, "I choose you." And all of a sudden, that massive impact hit me. And I thought, oh, okay. Because the voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind. If you know the story of Elijah going up the mountain to look for God in the cave, and he experiences the strong wind, and the voice of God's not in the strong wind, and he experiences the fire, and the voice of God's not in the fire, and the rocks split, and everything, all this great stuff happens, but the voice of the Lord is not in it. And then he hears the voice of the Lord in a still, small voice, and I just felt God speak to me about Maidenhead. So I'm actually going to be taking up that role in January, for those of you who don't know. I should be leading the congregation in Maidenhead, which I'm excited about and also daunted about, so I need your prayers, please. But it got me thinking about what it means to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, because God wants to change our perspective. You know that, don't you? God wants to change our perspective. He wants to lift us out of the ordinary, out of the humdrum, out of our daily lives, the daily grind, because it can be grinding at times, unless you're anything like me, yeah? Yeah? It can be. And if we just fix our eyes on the things that are in front of us, it can be tedious, it can be toiling, it can be just hard work at times, can't it? Or is that just me? Am I the only one that feels that way sometimes? It's true. It's like going through that bog. It's just hard work. And you lose your boots. And it's raining and you're just trying to dig your boots out in the mud. And it's just, you think, what's it all about? But God wants to take us to the high seat where he can change our perspective. Because how we see things is really important. What do you see? What do you see when you look at yourself? What do you see? That's a scary question to ask. When you look in the mirror, you should try it sometime. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, what do you see? But whatever you do, don't look with the eyes of the flesh. Because you'll destroy yourself. If you're anything like me. When I look at myself in the mirror with the eyes of the flesh, it's easy to run myself down. It's easy to point out the weaknesses out. It's easy to point out the things that are wrong with me, the things that I can't do, the things that I don't do very well, the things that I've forgotten to do, the things that I should have done, I haven't. That's dead easy. But to see Christ in me, that's much harder. I can see it in Brian. When I just look at Brian's face, I just see Christ. When I see his smile, I can see Christ in you, Brian. It's easy. The peace of God is on you. But when I look at myself, I think, but we mustn't look like that. We need to look differently. We need to see ourselves differently. We need to see one another differently. We need to see God differently. We need to change our perspectives. We need to get on that high seat with Christ. You know, I love those verses in the Bible which talks about knowing God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, don't boast in riches, don't boast in your power, don't boast in your strength. If you must boast, boast in this, that you know me. That's the thing worth boasting about, that you know me. That I am the Lord who delight in loving kindness. That's how it begins. And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, those who know the Lord will be strong and take action. Or actually in the New King James, it says, those who know their God will be mighty and do valiantly. Be mighty and do valiantly. But those who know their God, who have a right perspective. And then when we sing that song by Godfrey Birtle, I sing it around the home anyway, I love to sing it, where it goes, blessed are the people who know that God is good. Sorry, Angela. Wherever you are, you're out now. Not to be offended. All you musicians out there. But that word hits me, that line hits me every time. Blessed are the people who know that God is good. Blessed are you when you really know that God is good. You were really blessed. Because the world looks different all of a sudden. Can you remember that time when you first discovered the love of God? Can you remember that day? The world looked completely different, didn't it? Or was it just me? Huh? The world looks different when you discover the love of God. All of a sudden, the things that you saw before are not the same. You have a different perspective. You're seeing things differently. We've got to live in that place. Too often we come down from the high seat and live on the ground. looking with the eyes of the flesh, when God wants us to look with the eyes of heaven, to look with the eyes of our spirits, and to see differently. Because when you know that God is good, all sorts of things are possible. Because you know that he's going to bless you, for starters. You know that he's for you. He's not against you. That's amazing. That is amazing, really. It's amazing that he's for me. It's quite amazing that he's for you, Tom. Yeah, that is amazing. That the maker of heaven and earth is actually for us. If you don't get excited about that, you don't really understand it. When you think about yourself, when you think about your marriage, when you think about your family, actually God is for you. That is incredible. And when you know that, hope there comes. Hope comes eternally. Hope comes. Because when God is for you, who can be against you? Love never fails, the Bible tells us. Love never fails. So if you're looking at failure today, in any circumstance, I want you to quote that at the devil. Because it's the devil who's trying to get you to look at failure and to focus on the failure and to dwell in your failure and to dwell in your weakness. Love never fails. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. I love the fact that that verse doesn't tell us what love never fails to do. It's just a straightforward statement, three words. Love never fails. Because it's not just in one area of life, it's in every area of life. Love never fails. And God's love will not fail us. And our love for one another will not fail us. Love will overcome. And we're blessed when we know that. Joy comes, peace comes, hope comes, change comes. When we know that. When we don't know that, we wonder, oh, I deserve this. I deserve to be struggling. I deserve to be walking wounded. I deserve not to make anything of myself. It's true. All those things are true. But when we know the truth, a more important truth, that God is for us and he's working in everything. The Bible tells us in all things God is working, he's energizing, not dictating, but working in. When we know that, that should warm your heart. It should warm your heart. You see, Christ came that we might live in that place, seated with him. He was already there. He didn't come for his own sake. Before the world was created, he was seated with the Father in heavenly places. Yeah? He didn't come to get that position. He already owned it. It was already his. He was already living in it. Why did he come? Why did he come? Why did he come? It was to take us to that place. In 2 Philippians, he says, he was in very nature God. In very nature God. In very essence God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be held onto at all costs. I'm God. I will rule. But the Bible says he emptied himself. Emptied himself. Became nothing. Became a little baby. Came down to the earth to live as a man. Took on the nature of a servant, it says. Became obedient even to death on the cross, it says. Some people say God never changes. The Bible is always telling me about God's changes. He emptied himself. He changed. He emptied himself of all his godliness, all his power, all his authority. He emptied himself and became a little baby. So he could learn it all again as a man. To learn to trust his Father again as a man. And when he did that, to take humanity, to take his manhood to the heavenly places, to carry us to that place we could never get to by ourselves. Because that's what he wants to do with each one of us. And if we believe it, we live there. But he wants to carry us all to that place where we're seated with him in heavenly places as his children. So it wasn't for his benefit that he did it, it's for our benefit. That's what's changed. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
You've got to let that sink in, guys. If that doesn't really blow you away, you haven't really grasped it. Really.
If it doesn't make you think, wow, that's my place. We don't know it. You see, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He lifts up the humble. He lifts us up. That's what his will for us is, to lift us up. But when we get proudful, when we get arrogant, we're unable to live in that place. You see, it was always the Father's intention to make us sons. From the very beginning. That we could live with him in the heavenly places. As rulers. Co-rulers with Christ. That was always God's intention. That we should be there. But when Satan came, he persuaded us that God was holding out on us. That he was holding something back. That actually he didn't have the best in store for us. There was a better way. A quicker way to become like God. If we eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we can get there faster. So we abandoned God. Chose our own route. The same end, the devil said we'd become like God if we ate the fruit. God was already intent on making us like his son, Jesus. The Bible tells us that. Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, before God made man, it was his plan to make us like Jesus, to make us like his sons. That was our predestiny. We tried to grab hold of it. We tried to make it our own. We tried to force it to happen. And we lost it. So Jesus had to come and hang on a tree. He died for us to set us free from the power of death and the power of Satan. Because when Jesus came and emptied himself and took man to be at the right hand of God, when he did that, the power of Satan was broken. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, that the principalities and powers were made a spectacle of. They were disarmed on the cross. Totally disarmed. Jesus disarmed our enemy. On the cross. He removed the fear of death. You see, when we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and yet rose again 3 days later, seen by over 500 people, when we know that, the fear of death is less, isn't it? Yeah? If we know it, if we think it's a nice story, well, actually, the fear of death still remains. But if we know it to be true, and the whole history of the church proves it to be true, if we know it to be true, then it changes everything. The rules have changed. The rules of engagement in the war that we've had with the devil has changed. You see, before the cross, whenever we were trying to overcome Satan, one of his main weapons would be, I'm going to kill you if you do that. If you step out of line, I'm going to kill you. You know, if someone is scared of death, you have an easy victory. You just push them to the point where you tell them you're going to kill them. And then they back down. Nobody wants to die. That's a power. That's a strong power. It's very scary to face an enemy who is not afraid of death. Very scary. The Americans know that now. When they face Al-Qaeda and some of the suicide bombers. They don't like to fight people who aren't scared of death. Now, tragically, obviously, they're being deceived. Their motives are all mixed up and wrong. But the truth is there. If you're not afraid of death, you are a very scary enemy. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, we overcame him. The saints overcome Satan. We're looking ahead to the future. We overcame him by, number one, the blood of the Lamb. Without the cross, we couldn't do it. Because the cross is what disarmed him. Number two, the word of our testimony. What's number three? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Come on. Yes, thank you, Tom. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Death had no hold on them anymore. It was disarmed on the cross. Moreover, it was disarmed actually in the garden a few days later when Jesus rose from the dead and showed himself to those ladies, to Mary. Hallelujah. Praise God. Satan's been disarmed. But what does it mean for us? It means that we can live with a different perspective on the world. You see, there is no greater hope than the one we already have. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, or that you might know him better. That's a great prayer. If you're ever stuck for something to pray over someone, pray that. I pray that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know him better. Because to know God is life, the Bible tells us. To know Jesus Christ is life. There is nothing better than to know God. When you know God, the whole game is different. The whole world is different. But there's no greater hope. He says, I pray that the eyes, you know, your eyes will be open, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. There is no greater hope. Can you think of a greater hope than to be a son of God? Seated at his right hand. Seated with him in heavenly places. Can you think of a better place than that? A higher place? Can you? I can't. Is there a better hope? Is there a better, more important position than that? No. There is no higher hope or no higher place. It's amazing. See, Muslims, they have a higher hope. They have 99 names for God, but not one of them is Father. For them, there's a better hope. The hope that they can actually be called a son of God. That I can call Dad, my father in heaven, Dad. That's a better hope. We have no better hope. There's no greater inheritance. You know, you can look around at the world and wish you had a richer father who could leave you a better inheritance. But actually, there's no better inheritance for us. We have the best inheritance. As sons of God, as co-heirs with Christ, we receive the same inheritance as him, an equal share. There is no greater inheritance for us to receive. He's given it to us already. We can live in it as much of it as we like. That's scary. And I mean that on purpose. That we can live in it as much of it as we like. God is not holding anything back. Like he says to the elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. He says, my son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. You can have it whenever you like. Everything I have is yours. Just waiting for you to ask. He didn't say that. That's the implied bit. I'm just waiting for you to come to me. I'm generous. I'm good. All the time. I'm for you. I want you to have these things. I'm not holding anything back. But I want you to ask for it. I want you to want it. I don't want to force it on you. No one can take that inheritance away. It's ours as a free gift. By grace you've been saved, it says. By grace. So no one can boast. But also no one can take it away. If you earned it, someone could take it away because you haven't earned it. But actually no one can take it away from us. It's totally free. We have absolute security in our positions as sons of God because it's a free gift. In our positions as co-heirs with Christ, as ambassadors for Christ, as rulers on this earth. So we can boldly approach the Father, it says, in our time of need. In Hebrews chapter 4, we can boldly approach the throne of grace, boldly, knowing that we'll receive help in our time of need. Amen. That's exciting. That is really exciting. And so, as sons of God, we can ask for things, and they happen. We can actually even command things. Because sons of the king, princes of the kingdom, can command, and things will happen when they give a command. That should be our expectation. So one of the things, when you say, what do I see when I look in the mirror? You have to see a prince of the kingdom in order to have that kind of authority to speak it into being, to speak it and to let it be. Just give you a little example. I was praying with a young person a few months back now, and I've been carrying this person in my heart for years because they built up a big debt being at college. And I hate the fact that as a society now, we teach our young people to carry huge burdens. I hate it. I think we do them a disservice. That we put them into bondage before they've even begun on their lives in adulthood. And I wish that we wouldn't do that as a society. So I see these people come out of college with these big debts. That would crush me. I wouldn't want them. And there they are, fresh out to face the world with these huge burdens. So I prayed for this person. I said, I see God providing for you supernaturally. That's what I see. I see God providing for you supernaturally so you can get the work done that God's placed on your heart. A month later, she comes back to me and she says, you never guess what? All my debts have been paid. Hallelujah. 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 You know, this is good. And I don't know how much of that was down to my prayer. I have no idea what part my prayer prayed in that, but for me, that's really encouraging. You know, another example, a lady's marriage was falling apart. I carried her in my heart. I carried a burden for her in my heart. And one day she ran out of the meeting crying, and I ran after her. I'm not letting you go in tears from this place. I'm going to get a word from God for you. And I started to pray for her. And God showed me a picture. And I interpreted the picture, and I thought, that interpretation means that things are going to start to get better for you from today. Your marriage is going to start to get better. God's lifting you out of the darkness. He's taking you back into the light. That's what I saw. 2 months later, she speaks to me and she says, from the moment you prayed, my marriage started to get better. It was getting worse and worse. It was going down. But from that moment, it started slowly to come back up. It's getting better. We have to do this for one another. We have to use the authority that we have in Christ to pray over one another, to release the goodness of God over one another, to draw out the best from one another. You know, I was in Nepal 2 weeks ago. They honored me as a messenger of God. They always honor me when I go. They honor the people that go there. They know how to honor people in Nepal. And when you honor people, it draws the best out of them. It really does. If I honour you as someone, as a really important person, if I honour you as someone who's going to change things for me, if I honour you as someone really significant, you've got two choices. You can either try and run away and hide and pretend it's not happening, or actually you step into those shoes and you try and fill the shoes that the people have honoured you with. And when you go on mission, that's what happens. When you go on mission to these places, these distant places, they honour you, and so you step into the position that they expect. And it's the same, it should be the same here. You know, Jesus said, a prophet is without honour only in his own town, amongst his own people. It's true, isn't it? We don't honour one another enough. We don't expect enough from one another. Because we look at the eyes of the flesh, we don't look with the eyes of the spirit. But when we go to a different culture, a different place, they see us differently. They say, these people have come from God. They've come to bless us. And so the people could be seated around just like you are, and I could be preaching the same words, and yet the effect is different. Because of the honour that's there. Jesus preached the same message in his own town, but the effect was different. And in Luke chapter 4 it says he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. We've got to start seeing things differently, guys, if we want miracles to happen regularly in our midst. And I praise God, I thank God that as River Church we are seeing more and more of the supernatural. I hear more and more stories. I'm in the privilege of leadership, so I get to hear more stories than maybe most people. But I hear more and more stories of people experiencing the power of God in Albania, in other places, in our congregations, in our youth meetings. Healings that happen on the street, in a small group. More and more, I hear, more and more, as we begin to look with different eyes, as we begin to look with the eyes of faith, not with the eyes of the flesh. As we begin to call out the gold that's in one another. Our heritage as royal priests to bring in the kingdom. You know, because it doesn't feel any different when I'm praying over people in Nepal. And we had a women's conference there two weeks ago, maybe three now. And we had 150 ladies. And we prayed for them all individually. Most of them were slain in the Spirit for the first time. Most of them received the Holy Spirit for the first time. But when at the end, when we were getting feedback, and the Nepali guy said, how many of you got healing today? 50 plus put their hands up. 50 people. 50 people received healing in the name of Jesus through prayer that day. Now you read the Gospels, and it says everyone that was brought to him was healed, don't you? In the village. They all brought their sick to him, and they're all healed. But that's pretty much what happened that day. Everyone who was brought was healed. You think, wow. 50 people, 50 plus. Including one little girl, a 4 or 5 year old by the size of her. In Nepal, she might be older because they're a bit smaller, generally. She was brought to us in a coma-like state. She'd been out. And this was the third time it happened. And the mother was getting really worried because she was getting worse and worse and worse. And she brings her to us. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Somehow it's much easier to pray for a fever or even a gammy leg than it is to pray for someone like that. And we prayed. And I saw a picture of a metal bracelet around her arm. And as we prayed, it broke. And I said, I think something's broken here. I said, tell the mother, something's broken. She hasn't woken up, but I think something's broken in the spirit. And we left at that point. We were tired out, I tell you, we've been praying. So we left, but a few minutes later, that girl got up. And her mother's testimony is that she was the most lively she'd been for months. Praise God. Praise God. It's the same here. It should be the same here. We need to see one another differently, which is why I got Dario and... Is it Peter? Peter. Got you up, because we need to see one another differently. As co-heirs with Christ, as ambassadors for Christ, seated in heaven. I love what you guys said, by the way, when I got them up. You guys were looking with the eyes of the Spirit. You were seeing beyond the flesh. If I did that in Nepal, they would say, oh, I see an old person or a young person, or I see a young girl with glasses. You know, and I'm thinking, you're not looking. Come on, look harder. At least you guys were looking and seeing. You know, you're seeing much more. That's great. We've got to look beyond. Keep looking. There's more to see, guys, in one another. There's more to see in one another. There's more to see. Let's keep calling it out. Call out the destiny in one another. There's more to see. Keep asking God, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. And I want to see other people too. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart. You know, as I'm looking at you, I don't know your name. I can't remember. Carol. Carol, as I'm looking at you, I see you as a picture of wholeness. And I saw you praising God, with your arms in the air, praising God. I saw you as a picture of health, a picture of happiness, a picture of wholeness. And I saw many people looking at you. Many people looking at you. And I really feel that the work that God is doing in you, other people are going to see. Because you are going to become known for the healthiness of your life, the wholeness of your life, the completeness, the mendedness of your life. Other people around you are going to see that. Broken people, hurting people are going to see that. And they're going to be amazed and they're going to want it. So, Father, I just want to pray your blessing over this lady. Lord God, continue that wonderful work in her heart, Father. Continue that wonderful work, that wonderful mending process, Lord God. I thank you that she's whole in Christ, that she's whole in Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, and I pray, I thank you, Father, that your glory is reflected in her face. I thank you. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray and know that others are going to see it And I look forward to those days, Father, when many people come because they see the glory of Jesus Christ in that lady's face, in Carol's face, in the name of Jesus. Bless her, Father. Continue that work, that precious work in her heart. Help her to see it, Father, when she looks in the mirror. Help her to see, not with the eyes of flesh, but with your eyes. And to call it out from herself, Father. That beautiful child of God. That attractive child of God who is going to save many people. Bring many people to the God who saved her. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I've forgotten your name. Sorry. Hazel. Sorry, Hazel. I just saw, when I was, we were worshipping earlier, I just saw there's a vulnerability. And I saw there was pressure. And I saw spiritual pressure on you. Spiritual attack on you, if you like. I saw, it felt vulnerable. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it felt a vulnerable place that you were in. But God wants to say, actually, it's a safe place. God wants to speak peace into your heart. And he wants you to embrace that vulnerability. Because actually, he's doing something amazing inside of you. There's a transformation going on inside of you, which is hard to figure out. You can't figure it out. You know, there's a transformation that happens inside the cocoon of a butterfly that you can't figure out. It goes in one thing and comes out something completely different. And there's a similar transformation going on in you right now. I just see it in the spirit. And you're going to emerge different from this season. But don't let the fears get to you. Don't let the enemy get to you with his boasts, with his growling. Because he won't harm you. God is watching over you. He's doing the work in you. So, Father, I want to thank you for this lady, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Hazel, Father. And I pray you continue to do that work in her, Lord God. That transformational work from one degree of glory to the next. In this new season, Father, I look forward to that incredible change in her, that incredible glory that's coming, Father. That incredible glory. Incredible glory where people will say to you, Hazel, they will say, where did you get that? I don't understand. How did that happen? And you won't have a clue. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray for protection on her mind. I pray for protection against the lies of the enemy that would speak and tell her it's not going to happen. Come against all the doubts, all the fears in the name of Jesus. And pray in the peace of your spirit. So let your kingdom come in this beautiful lady. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And Sue, as I was praying for you, I saw God unveiling you. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. It was like God was saying, "What? Look at this," and displaying a masterpiece. And you were fearful of that. I remember thinking you were fearful of that and wondering what God was going to show and wondering, feeling that it wasn't very good. But God is saying to you how valuable you are to him. There's a value in you which you don't even begin to understand. There's a huge value on your life. Huge value on your life. Huge value on your life. And I was, the Spirit reminded me of a time when I was at school, and the teacher had everybody guessing who'd done this bit of work, who'd done this excellent bit of work, and no one could guess, because no one expected me to do it. And Jesus is saying, there's some excellent things going to happen in your life, and no one's going to expect it. No one's going to expect it. You're not going to expect it. But there's some tremendous things going to happen, tremendous changes, tremendously positive things, and you will begin to understand the value that Jesus has placed on you, the plans he has for your life, because the enemy will seek to speak and to remove hope and remove and belittle your dreams. But God says to you, dream bigger. So I mean that, dream bigger. Dream bigger. If there are things that you feel called to do, do them. Don't give up, because God has tremendous value on your heart. Tremendous value. Much bigger than you thought. Much, much bigger than you thought. Yeah, I saw God unveiling it like the jackpot. It was a huge value. So, Father, I just want to pray over Sue, Lord Jesus. I want to pray, Lord God, that destiny into her. I want to pray. Father God, release heaven over this lady in the name of Jesus. Release your gifting to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I don't know what that, what those wonderful things are that you promised you're going to do in Sue's life. Lord God, I don't know what they are, but I just want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for the joy it's going to bring this lady, for the excitement it's going to bring her, for the happiness it's going to bring her heart. Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But also, as I'm praying for you, Sue, I'm just feeling the Spirit say, you know, I got a picture of a broom, and that's not a good picture in a way. It's like hard work, sweeping up. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, in chasing your dreams, don't despise the small things, because sometimes those small things lead on to the bigger things. Okay, so like Jesus becoming, taking on the nature of a servant and serving and doing something, just that's going to be a route to you to achieving your dreams, serving something or someone. So, Father, thank you. And I just release this lady's dreams over her again, Father. What the enemy's tried to take away, Father, I just restore to her in the name of Jesus. Just restore to her, Lord God, and say, bless her work. Bless her work, Lord God. Thank you for her, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so I want to end there, really, but I just want to encourage us just to see differently. To see differently. To take seriously that phrase which says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and to use the authority we've been given, that vantage point, to get a better perspective on ourselves and on others, on the kingdom, on the church, and just not to look with the eyes of the flesh, which will always try and rob us of our energy and of our power and of our strength and of our hope. But let's press in, not back out, not back down, but let's press in.